I feel in many ways you heard the gospel this morning. As we stand in the shadow of the cross, of an empty tomb, God raised new life. We celebrate this. We've been reminded the power of the resurrection. You've heard the gospel already this morning, in song, in word. Thank you, Jesse, for your song. Peace be with you. Thank you, Quartet, for reminding us that our peace is found as we remain near the cross. My joy, my privilege today is to unpack a little more of what that means for you and for me. This hope, this peace that we have. This morning, rather than reading for you our text, I'd like to show you our text. Now, Mark Burnett made an attempt to tell the story of the Bible in his well-acclaimed mini-series. And I'm always torn about these projects because I appreciate their effort to bring the word front and center into discussion. What was difficult about this project is that it took it at about 20,000 feet in a supersonic jet, and we flew over the word and we missed so much, my opinion. There's another project that came out a while back from the American Bible Society that produced a film called The Gospel of John. And it did what I felt was a very faithful word-for-word presentation of John's gospel using the Good News translation. And I'd like to share that with you this morning as we approach our text so that you can feel what I believe is a faithful presentation of what very well may have transpired in that upper room after Jesus' resurrection. Matt, would you share that?
So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came, stood among them.
Peace be with you.
After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again,
Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you.
Then he breathed on them.
Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord.
Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands, and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe.
A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them.
Peace be with you. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe.
My Lord and my God.
Do you believe? Because you see me. How happy are those who believe without seeing me?
In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. After this, Jesus appeared once more.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, reminding us of what is true, reminding us of what is peace. Meet with us now, I pray. Open our minds and our hearts to receive your truth deep into our lives this day. Amen. Oh, the search for peace. It can feel sometimes like we're chasing a unicorn, always in pursuit, but yet never seeing it, never experiencing it. A simple Google search on the word peace returned to me 879 billion results. So there's just a few inquiries into this topic of peace and a few thoughts about peace. We certainly sing about peace. We have many songs that have been written for peace. John Lennon, perhaps, in one of his most famous songs, Imagine, had a lyric in there, "Imagine all the people living life in peace." And to John, we would say, yes, you were a dreamer. When we look around the world, we search for peace. Some have places they like to go that they say brings them peace. On the water, to a cabin, in the mountains. But that peace doesn't last. We come home. We go to the doctor. We receive news in the mail. And that peace is broken. Oh, but we work hard for peace. JFK put the Peace Corps together back in 1961 in an effort to bridge cultures together to help the plight of the undeveloped nations, to spread peace. And yet, poverty, disease, heartache continues. We sing about peace, we search for peace, we work hard for peace all around the world. But with so little peace felt, it can be easy, I think, for many of us to become cynical. So when Jesus comes into the midst of the disciples and proclaims peace, what did that mean for them? And what does that mean for us? Is peace a feeling? Or is there something more to peace that rises above our circumstances, that rises above our emotions, that transcends us and presents to us a new reality? This morning, my heart breaks for Pastor Rick Warren and his wife, who lost his son, who took his own life, who fought years with depression. Many of you who have loved ones or you yourself have struggled with this disease? Where is their peace? And what is this peace that Jesus offers us? I want to unpack this with you this morning. The first of these, the peace of Christ, overcomes fears. The disciples were locked away in the upper room, filled with fear. It's understandable. Their Lord had been put to death, his body missing. Would they be blamed? Would they share the same fate as their Savior? The text says that they were filled with fear of the Jews. The Greek word used there was phobos, which is where we get the word phobia. We mention phobias in our society, and people go, oh, I know what you're talking about. That is terrifying fear. Have you ever had anyone who had a fear of flight sitting next to you on an airplane? You experienced what intense fear felt like as they maybe squeezed and started to break the bones in your hand out of fear. Fear stands in opposition to peace. Where there is fear, there is no peace. While the world has never known a lasting state of peace, we have always been a people who have lived with fear. Fear of violence, fear of conflict, fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of illness, fear of death. You see, fear was born out of sin. It traces back to the Garden of Eden. After Adam had sinned against the Lord and was later found hiding, he said to God, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Adam's newfound self-awareness brought shame, and in that moment, sin separated us from God. Sin brought death. Everyone, including those disciples and us, inherited that curse of sin and death, and the lack of peace that came in that conflict. But in that moment, the fear that they felt, Jesus passes through the doors, locked doors, and comes into their presence. And Jesus' divinity is fully on display. This is more than a man raised from the dead. This is God raised. But you have to think that maybe in that moment that Jesus' very presence to them perhaps brought them some fear. These were the same disciples who had scattered and denied the Lord after his arrest. But in this intense moment of fear, Jesus pronounces the first of three declarations of peace. Peace be with you, he says, which is far more than just a greeting. When Jesus says peace, he actually provides what he says. The words spoken by God do not just communicate, they create. In the creation account given in Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Just as God spoke and the world was created, so Christ speaks and creates peace in the disciples. What is this peace that Christ creates for them? Reconciliation. A restored relationship. Jesus gave himself to resolve the conflict that existed between God and man, to overcome the fear that had supplanted our peace. The very presence of a risen Christ is reason for peace. His presence is evidence of his resurrection and his fulfillment of his promise. If God can raise his Son and conquer death, what can the world do to them? As the Apostle Paul summarized it well in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus' death and resurrection has freed us from the law of sin and death and given us the Spirit of life. It is a peace that creates new life in us. Christ's proclamation of peace frees us from our fears because Christ's gift of peace is a gift of a restored relationship with God. All that was wrong has been set right again, and nothing can change that. The peace of Christ overcomes fear. The peace of Christ also gives us a hope and a future. Now, we know this verse. Many of us know this verse well. We claim this as a life verse in some cases. The prophet Jeremiah says in 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, some of us don't know that around the context of that verse was a lot of fear, not a lot of peace. The people of Israel had become a shadow of their former selves. They had been recovering out of years in the Babylonian captivity, wondering, what was to become of us? Was God to fulfill his promises? We're just a fraction of what we were. What hope do we have? And Jeremiah is reminding them of their hope and their future in the midst of bleak circumstances. Their circumstances do not determine their peace. And Jesus' declaration of peace is also a reminder to his followers of their hope and future. Jesus comes not just to fulfill a promise of his resurrection, but also to pronounce a promise as well. A promise that his followers would proclaim God's peace to the world. In verses 21 and 23 of our text that we saw in the video, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." You see, the peace of Christ was not limited to that upper room or for us today, but it is for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And we now are God's peace ambassadors on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. We carry a message of reconciliation to declare forgiveness of sins to all who would repent and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. As Jesus promises, we don't go alone as we declare this. And there's peace in that for us. You see, just a week before, Christ had promised to them in John 14:26-27, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Our hope is secure because of God's gift of grace through Jesus Christ. And our future is secure because God has called us into his mission of reconciliation with the world, giving our lives their fullest meaning and purpose. Each one of us here has a calling in our families, in our work, and beginning in our own lives to live that peace that God has made with us. Thirdly, the peace of Christ replaces doubt with faith. And this is where Thomas enters the picture. He's missed all the action up to this point. And no, there wasn't TiVo and there wasn't Instagram. So there wasn't much help for him. How did he make it? I don't know. But before we jump on Thomas the doubter, let's remember that he had a lot of company in his doubting not long before. Peter, John, Mary. None of them had assumed that Jesus had risen from the dead. They all had to go and see for themselves. U.S. Congressman Willard Duncan Van Diver, who served in the United States House of Representatives from 1897 to 1903, while being a member of the U.S. House Committee on Naval Affairs, Van Diver, attending a banquet in Philadelphia, said, "I come from a state that raises corn and cotton and cockleburs, and Democrats, and frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I am from Missouri, and you've got to show me." And from there, the show me state was born. This passage is the show me passage in the Bible. When Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he showed them his hands and his side. Thomas demands what Jesus has already given to the other disciples. What a gracious Lord who lowers himself to our demands, to our terms. He shows himself to him. And Thomas's confession of Jesus Christ, "My Lord and my God," is one of the clearest in all of Scripture. Can you imagine what that week before had been like for the disciples, earnestly trying to convince Thomas of what had happened? Can you relate to that? When we have loved ones, we have friends, that we wish nothing more for them to believe. Did Thomas believe them? No. Thomas believed because he had an encounter with the risen Lord. And so it is true today, as God meets us in his word. It is beyond our words and our pleas. Perfect peace from God does not depend on our feelings and our senses. Instead, it depends solely on the word of the Lord. As Luther expresses it, "I believe what God's word promises if I feel like it, or if I don't feel like it." The gift of faith is the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. So what rooms of fear might you be locked in today? A room of fear over a health problem. A room of fear over an addiction of some kind. A room of fear over a money problem. A room of fear over a relationship in crisis. These disciples faced persecution, imprisonment, and great hardship, but yet were filled with peace that was greater than their trials or their tribulations. We can have this peace in the midst of life's storms, because Christ has made peace between us and the Father. John's conclusion leaves no doubt what is the foundation for lasting peace. "Now Jesus did many other signs," it says in verse 30, "in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." The peace of God is found in a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. A name that is above every name. A name that brings forgiveness of sins. And a name that is the foundation for lasting peace in our lives and in our world. I want to close this morning with the story of the peace child. Maybe you've heard this before from missionary Don Richardson. In 1960, Don Richardson graduated from the Prairie Bible Institute in Three Hills, Alberta. Don began preparations to sail halfway around the world to the Stone Age people of then what was known as Irian Jaya. Don went to a tribe of headhunters who were unable to read or write. All their axes and knives were limited to stone. These people believed that treachery was man's highest virtue, and the best feast was to eat your enemies. They were a savage people. Don and his wife Carol worked hard to learn the language and the customs of the tribe that they lived with. They were frustrated that they couldn't get them to understand the story of Jesus coming to earth to die for their sins. The tribe loved the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, especially the part about Jesus' betrayal and crucifixion. At the point, they hung on Don's every word, waiting with eager anticipation for the part where Judas gave Jesus the kiss of betrayal. They shouted with glee and clapped for Judas. Don and Carol prayed that God would show them a way to convey the true message of the gospel in the form these people would understand. Then one day, the opportunity came in a manner they didn't expect. The tribe up the river attacked the tribe Don was living with. For weeks, they fought and killed each other. Finally, Don said to the leaders of the tribe, "If you don't stop fighting, we will leave your tribe." That was a serious threat to them. They liked Carol's medical care and Don's steel implements. Plus, the presence of the white family gave them status. The chief of Don's tribe realized they had to pay a price for peace. One day, Don watched the warriors of the warring tribe form a line opposite each other. The chief of his tribe took his newborn son from the arms of his wife. She sank to the ground, wailing in uncontrollable grief. Then the chief walked down the line of his warriors, and each of them put their hands on the little firstborn child. With determination and resolve, the chief walked across the open space between the two warring tribes. He stood face to face with the enemy chief and placed his son in enemy's arms. With the baby in his arms, the enemy chief walked down the line of his warriors. In full view of the father and the father's tribe, each enemy warrior placed his hands on the baby boy. Next, the warriors turned and disappeared into the bush with the infant. The baby was gone, never to be returned to its grieving parents. The Richardsons wondered what the ceremony meant. One day, the chief said to them, "I offered my son as a peace child for our tribes. As long as my son lives, there will be peace between our tribes. If he dies, war will resume. Anyone who kills the peace child will himself be killed." Don pondered the significance of the ceremony, and in a flash of insight, he realized the chief was giving him the cultural key that would open the Stone Age people to the truth about Jesus Christ. One day, Don gathered the elders together and told them the story of God's peace child. Don spoke of the war that rages between the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of God. Just as the warriors put their hands on the chief's little son as a sign that they accepted this little boy as their peace child, so we receive faith. So by faith, receive Jesus in our lives to show that we are at peace with God. The difference in the stories is that God's peace child lives forever. If the chief had not given his son, then the tribes would have kept on fighting and warriors would have kept on dying. Death is the wages that sin pays. The Apostle Paul reminds us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." in Jesus Christ our Lord. The peace of Christ is eternal life. Peace among those tribes in the area in Jael was brought by the gift of the peace child. Each warrior indicated his willingness to receive the gift by placing his hands on the peace child. And Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Peace for you was bought by the gift of the peace child, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came into the world as that promised child, has grown up to become our Prince of Peace. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Amen.